Om Gyanatvirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
So we've been talking a lot about chanting japa. I'd like to speak a few words about chanting in kirtan. Now, chanting in kirtan, the same principles apply. We should chant hearing the names of Krishna, praying to Krishna. Kirtan is also musical, but the main principle is chanting the names of Krishna with love and faith, chanting attentively, praying to Krishna for his mercy. It's enjoyable, but it's not an entertainment. It is meant for Krishna's pleasure. So especially when we're chanting in front of the deities, we should always be very much conscious that we are who we are chanting to, that we are chanting for the pleasure of the deities. So it's good when we're chanting in kirtan to center our attention on the sound of Krishna's names and also on the deities. Sometimes we see kirtans in which everyone is dancing, but they're all in a circle and the center of attention is away from the deity. Sometimes the attention is so much on the devotees who are dancing or on the kirtan leader. And sometimes even all the devotees are chanting, but their backs are all towards the deity. So we should be very conscious that we're chanting and dancing for Krishna's pleasure. Dancing should also be for Krishna's pleasure. We see the Gaura-Nitai deities, they're dancing with their arms raised. They're very gracefully dancing for Krishna's pleasure. So our dancing should be like that, not very much wild or overly athletic. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada encouraged, he liked to see his disciples dancing enthusiastically. But sometimes he would just caution them that you should dance in the way that Lord Chaitanya danced. So the basic principle is that we're chanting and dancing for Krishna's pleasure, and we should bear that in mind. So that's just finishing. Not finishing, but we'll finish our presentation there on chanting. Now, the two most important principles in Krishna Bhakti Sadhana are chanting, and even before that actually comes hearing. Actually, hearing even comes before chanting in the order, Shravanam Kirtanam. Unless we hear, we won't know what to chant or what we're chanting. So hearing and chanting, they're the two basic principles of advancement. Of course, there are so many different other kinds of service also. What do we hear? We hear that we should serve Krishna. So there are so many different ways to serve Krishna. But even that service to Krishna that we are doing, that should be accompanied as much as possible by hearing and chanting. Even deity worship, there are so many mantras which is simply chanting about Krishna. We're cooking in the kitchen or washing the pots, we can listen to different cassettes of Krishna Kirtan lectures. When we go out to preach to others or distributing books, we are glorifying Krishna. So Shravanam and Kirtan, Shravanam Kirtan, these two things go together. Either one person glorifies Krishna and others listen, as in just now I'm speaking and you're hearing. Or we ourselves chant and hear ourselves, just as in japa. So these principles of hearing and chanting, they are formally arranged within the sadhana program Srila Prabhupada has given us. Specifically, every day in our temples, we have classes on Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So this principle of sitting and hearing the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is very basic to Krishna consciousness. Our whole movement is based on philosophy. Srila Prabhupada said that books are the basis. That means that the philosophy in the books, that is the basis of our Krishna consciousness movement. Our movement is, there's chanting, dancing, feasting, but our movement is also highly philosophical. This distinguishes the Krishna consciousness movement from so many other religious movements. There are many distinguishing features, such as the purity of our principles. That's also a distinguishing feature. Once Prabhupada, you'll find this in the Science of Self-Realization, one incident, in which Prabhupada was asked, well, what's the difference between your movement and other religions? Mm-hmm. So Prabhupada said, our movement is not an ordinary religion. It is a systematic education in theological understanding. Prabhupada would say that any religious person will agree that God is great, but they do not understand how God is great. So that is the difference between the Krishna conscious movement and other religious processes, other theological systems. They believe in God, but they don't really know who they believe in. They don't even know his name. Jesus taught, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Maybe you're all brought up in atheistic Russia, you don't know. Do you know this prayer? You all know this? So, hallowed, glorified be thy name. But what is his name? don't know. How can you love someone if you don't even know their name? You tell your friend, oh, I fell in love. Well, with who? Well, I don't really know their name, but that's the first thing. So Krishna consciousness gives scientific knowledge of God, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. This is scientific knowledge of the thesis of God, by knowing which we are liberated from material contamination. So we don't see any organization where the members daily sit to hear and discuss philosophy like this. Of course, it's not in the university, in the philosophy class, they may be discussing the few people that attend such philosophy lessons. But this application, going so deeply into theological science and basing our lives upon it, we only find this in the Krishna consciousness movement. Now, this hearing is very, very powerful, very powerful to clean our hearts. Our hearts are unclean. Unclean means they are filled with kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya, the six enemies. Lust, greed, envy, illusion, madness, anger. These are all coming about from the basic enviousness of forgetfulness of Krishna. So this, all misconceptions are removed by regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. There are many, many shlokas in the Bhagavatam itself and throughout the Vedic scriptures describing the benefits of hearing about Krishna. Can anyone tell us one of these verses? There are many such verses. Anyone? Anyone put your hand up? Okay, say. Say it loudly.
I can't hear what you're saying.
Say it again. You're saying it in Russian. Muhuraho rasika bhuvibhavaka. That's the third verse of Bhagavatam. Thoughtful men relish this fruit. Nigamakalpatra galitam phalam shukamukha damrita drava samyutam. Pivata bhagavatam rasamalayam muhuraho rasika bhuvibhavaka. This verse states that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of the desire tree of Vedic knowledge. And it is a book of rasa, or spiritual nectar, became more nectarine by being spoken by Shukadeva Goswami. Therefore, O thoughtful men, you should relish this nectar. Pivata Bhagavatam, drink. Pivata Bhagavatam rasam, drink the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam through your ears. Drink through your ears. Some other verses, please? Yeah, this is a very important verse. And there's another verse which comes with this. Another well-known verse. Can you say the other verse which goes with this? Two verses together. Nashta. Say loudly. Nashta prayeshva bhadreshu nityang bhagavata sevaya bhagavatyu tamashloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. Very, very important. If we just meditate upon the meaning of these verses, we'll get so much inspiration to hear about Krishna. Hearing topics of Krishna is itself a pious activity. Now, we are talking about the dirty things in the heart. Lust, greed, anger, etc. Antastha means fixed in the heart, all these nasty things. Vidyantastha, abhadrani, the nasty, rotten things. How to clean them up? Here, Sutta Goswami says that Krishna himself cleans them up. Krishna cleans these things from the heart of the devotee because he is the very great well-wisher of his devotees. In this regard, there's another verse in Bhagavatam that states that people who are regularly hear the Srimad Bhagavatam and take the subject matter very seriously, they will very quickly have Lord Krishna manifested within their hearts. So, the same thing, abhadrani, abhadri, the abhadra, the nasty things in the heart, nashta prayesha, they become practically just by this hearing alone, they are all destroyed. And not only that, but fixed up devotional service to Krishna becomes manifest. There are many such verses, famous verses, satang prasangam mamavirya sangvidam bhavanti hridkarnam sayana kata tajyoshvanad ashvapavargavatmani shadharatir bhaktir anukramishati. Kapila Dev says that hearing in the association of devotees is very pleasing to the heart, well, to the ears and the heart. Just by hearing that we make so much progress, we make so much advancement on the path of liberation. And just by that hearing, our faith, our taste, our feelings for Krishna, and pure devotional service all develop. It's such a nice process. You don't have to do any difficult austerities. All you have to do is sit and hear. And hear what? Hear about Krishna. What could be more relishable? Such a nice process. So this is, we can't measure how important this is. See, there are many devices for measuring. You have a speedometer to measure the speed your car is traveling at. You have a measure, ruler, to measure the length of a piece of paper. You have a hygrometer to measure the specific density of water. But you can't measure how important hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is. It's unlimited. So we should we're talking about making habits in our lives. So the first habit of a highly successful person is to rise early in the morning, chant the holy names, take bath, attend Mangal Arati, go on chanting very attentively the holy names of Krishna, attend Srimad Bhagavatam class. Try to get our minds absorbed in this philosophy. Otherwise, if you see, there may be many devotees who are, they're not living in an ISKCON center, they're living at home, but the hearing process must go on. Hearing is essential. There's no spiritual advancement without proper hearing. Prabhupada said, I was able to preach Krishna consciousness nicely all over the world because I heard nicely from my spiritual master. And this was the specific point that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur noted in his disciple, Abhay Charanaravinda, that he hears nicely. So to be a good devotee or an advancing devotee means you have to hear nicely. Hearing nicely means to be alert. That means listening very carefully. We have a tendency to fall asleep, but we should try to overcome this by standing up if necessary, so that we can take advantage of hearing about Krishna, so that gradually all our misconceptions can be driven out. Now, we may ask that, how is it? You just sit and listen to a class. Does it really make that much difference? Yes, of course. Krishna consciousness is a science. You follow it, you'll get the result. So we all have to learn the philosophy, how to apply that philosophy in our lives. And we have to understand clearly what our ultimate goal is. All the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is under three headings. Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojan, which means understanding our relationship with Krishna. Abhideya means learning how to act in that relationship. And Prayojan means attainment of the final goal, love of Krishna, going back to Godhead. So we have to regularly hear these topics because our mind works in a different way. We have to hear about Krishna, how he's the supreme controller and enjoyer. Why he's the supreme controller and enjoyer? Because due to the influence of Maya, although it's absolutely absurd, we are thinking, I am the supreme controller and enjoyer. You see, if someone's walking here and we come out to them and say, what's your name? And they say, my name is Boris Yeltsin. Well, unless he actually is Boris Yeltsin, we'll think this guy is crazy. He wants to think he's like that because actually he's insignificant. So he likes to think I'm very important and powerful, but he's not. He's just an idiot, fool. So Boris Yeltsin is like this and he's like this, but he's imagining I'm like this. So, in the same way, if we think I am the enjoyer, I'm the controller, we're actually thinking I'm God. Now, even if you think you're Boris Yeltsin, you're crazy. So what to speak if you think you're God, who is unlimitedly more powerful than millions of Boris Yeltsins? There's no measuring how powerful the name of Krishna. There's no measuring how nonsense we are to think that I am the controller, I am God, I am the enjoyer. But actually it should just, it's an axiomatic fact. We're not God, Krishna is God. But we are so foolish, nonsense, rascal, murhas, that we're thinking, actually I am God. So we have to hear it scientifically explained regularly. Unless we regularly hear that Krishna is God, you're not God, and we're thinking, actually, I am God. We're in a very, very diseased condition in which we are thinking this material world is something for me to enjoy. It's madness. But the cure for this madness is to hear from the psychiatrist, supreme psychiatrist, Krishna. The Bhagavad Gita, that is the basic text of our Krishna conscious movement, in which Krishna explains how we're not these bodies, we are his eternal servants, and how to practically apply that understanding in our lives. How to act in this world without becoming attached to it. How to act in this world offering all our activities to Krishna. How to practically do that. Krishna gives the basic outline. He also says that you have to approach a guru, because just like Krishna was the guru to Arjuna. So Krishna, he directed Arjuna how Arjuna should practically apply the philosophy in his life, in Arjuna's life. But exactly how us as individuals should apply in our own individual circumstances, that we have to take direction from Guru, who is the representative of Krishna. But we have to regularly hear and understand the philosophy of Gita so that we can apply the, so that we can understand what Guru is telling us. Well, Gita is our basic book, and the same message of Gita is given in expanded form in Srimad Bhagavatam. The Vaishnavas, especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has given much emphasis on hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the literary incarnation of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada writes within the purports to Srimad Bhagavatam that by reading this book, by studying this book, we can get the same benefit as if we are standing in front of Krishna face to face. And he writes that one who studies Srimad Bhagavatam seriously, they can see Krishna in every page. So hearing and reading, reading is an extension of the hearing process. Apart from hearing in the class, we have to study Srila Prabhupada's book. In our movement, there are now many books being published, which was Srila Prabhupada's desire that devotees go on glorifying Krishna by writing books. But the basic and most important books of our movement are Srila Prabhupada's books. And all members of this movement should regularly study Srila Prabhupada's books. It should not be optional or occasional. Daily activity. If you can study 2 hours or more a day, that's very nice. If you can study at least 1 hour a day, that's very nice. At least a day should not, at least we should have this habit that however busy we may be, there should not be a day in which we do not at least once open Prabhupada's books and read them. But the best thing is to set some time aside every day and read. We all have many important things to do. Preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world is, again, unlimitedly important. But just as important as preaching is studying Prabhupada's books and hearing from them to get strength and conviction and the clear understanding by which our own spiritual lives can progress very nicely and by which we can convince others also. So I would think most of you who are here are in the habit of studying Prabhupada's books. I would guess that from the way you're all hearing very nicely and making notes. So make this a lifelong habit. Don't ever think, well, now I know everything in Prabhupada's books. I've read them all. I don't need to read them anymore. You go on and on reading. Pibhata Bhagavatam Rasam Alayam. This word Alayam means up to the time you leave the body. Throughout your life, go on studying Srimad Bhagavatam. You read from the first canto to the 12th canto, you finish. Then you can go on to Chaitanya Charitamrita and other books. Then you start again. You go on and on. Again and again, read Bhagavatam. Even you may be guru, sannyasi, GBC. We all are servants of Krishna. So we all have to perform the basic spiritual duty of reading Srimad Bhagavatam. And actually, when you get a taste for these things, you'll want to automatically. It's not that someone has to come and say, you must read this book. Rather, you will automatically say, I must read this book. Some may say, but you've already read it 10 times. Only 10 times, I want to read it more. That is the nature of spiritual literature, that we gain more and more taste. It's very enjoyable, actually. Since I came to Russia, I've been going through Krishna book, Krishna Leela. I don't know how many times I've read it before, but it's not that it's not relishable. I know what's going to happen. It's not like the like a detective novel and you don't know what's going to happen. Shishupal is blaspheming Krishna and 2 paragraphs later he's going to have his head cut off. But it's still we want to read. So go on reading. Nice books. Prabhupada said this he considered his greatest contribution. So study. I think in Russia, this cold, dark winter, there may be some good thing. You don't want to go outside. You stay inside and read Prabhupada's book. Then you won't be in the cold, dark Russian winter. You'll be in Vaikuntha. We'll go on hearing. We'll be chanting, studying. This way we will become Krishna conscious. What does Krishna consciousness mean? Krishna consciousness means to be conscious of Krishna. At the moment, we're mostly conscious of our body. We're conscious of our tongues, bellies, genitals, and all these. We're conscious of our minds, our false egos. What are other people thinking of me? If anyone says anything against me, I will pull out nuclear bombs and smash them. Krishna consciousness means to change our whole way of thinking. Hearing regularly, daily, you are not that body. You are the eternal servant of Krishna. And hearing again and again and again. So that at some point in time, we may finally wake up and think, wow, I'm not this body, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. It's really true. And when we finally wake up to that consciousness, then we will be Krishna conscious. We have to become Shastra Chakshu, seeing through the eyes of Scripture. The whole ethos we're living in is completely one of Maya. The way we're trained to think and the way other people around us think, those who are not devotees, it completely goes against the way of thinking that a Krishna conscious person should think. The world view of materialistic people is that life is meant for working hard and enjoying yourself. People think to drink vodka is very, it makes you into a man. And we are Russian. I was on a train going from somewhere in Russia. So there was one soldier just come back from Chechnya, and he was chastising the devotee who was with me. What is this, Hare Krishna? We're risky. I mean, this is not Russian. He was putting butter on his bread with his knife. He had this knife. He was describing to his friend how, you see, with this knife, I cut so many people's throats. And even when they were alive, I was cutting off their ears and putting the knife in their eyes. And his friend was going, no. He's thinking, this is very nice. And you see, this Hare Krishna, this is very bad. Of course, not everyone is so demoniac. But basically, the whole way of thinking is quite different. Generally, when it is very common when young people join our movement, their parents become horrified. If their children become drug addicts or alcoholics or gangsters, they think, well, you know, that's normal. But if they become devotees of Krishna, they become, the worst thing could possibly happen. You spoiled your whole life. Mm. I mean, you're young, you should be enjoying sex. I spent all these years bringing you up, and now you're just, it's all spoiled. So like this, the whole current of society goes against the way of thinking of Krishna consciousness. So we have to hear the philosophy of Krishna consciousness daily to fix us in the understanding of reality. It goes beyond the apparent reality that we are Russians and that enjoyment of the body is the purpose of life, and brings us to the actual understanding that this body is temporary. I am the eternal soul within the body, and that our actual existential position is that of servants of Krishna. So chant very carefully. Take this process of hearing about Krishna, studying Prabhupada's books very, very carefully. I think even if you take cassettes of these lectures, they may help you to be enthusiastic about the most important processes of advancement in Krishna consciousness. Hearing and chanting throughout our lives. Hare Krishna. So is there any question? All right. Are you going to come tomorrow to this program? And could I request you to come? Do you have a dhoti? No. Would you like to learn to wear a dhoti? That would be nice. Dhoti, kurta, tilak. This is our uniform. We're marching back with Krishna's army. So that's one point. If you could take that up, that would be very nice. So what's your question? Those who are living at home or in non-temple situations, they should, as much as possible, follow sadhana as strictly as those living in temples. In fact, I see many householder devotees living at home who follow sadhana even more strictly than those who are living in temples. I discussed about this briefly yesterday. Those living at home, they may have to make some adjustments if they have to go to work at 6 o'clock in the morning or something like this. But the basic principle of following sadhana should be there, even if it has to be adjusted somewhat. Actually, I was planning on doing a seminar on Vaishnava etiquette covering all these points. It's another big, important subject. Then I was told that Vidya Purna Maharaj was doing a seminar on Vaishnava etiquette. Both men and women should dance for the pleasure of Krishna. If they do that, their dancing will generally be graceful. It may be in some cases that men are overly conscious of the women devotees in the temple and they dance with that in mind sometimes, and vice versa.
You mean that they take
No, sometimes the men are dancing to impress the women or something like that. Sorry to say, but it may be. There's been a lot of discussion in our movement in the last few years about whether the lady devotees should stand at the back or at the side or what. In the Vedic culture, women, they're generally very shy. And although you'll find in, they'll have their own bhajan groups, and then they'll dance like anything when men are not present. This is a cultural question because We're bringing the Vedic culture into the Western countries, which has different values. My personal feeling is that we should stick as closely as, or we should move towards the Vedic culture that we find practiced in India, because that culture is based on Shastra and is meant for spiritual elevation. In the Western countries, where they have no philosophical understanding of the purpose of life, there is much propaganda that women should be equal to men in all respects. In Krishna conscious understanding, we understand that not only women and men, but all living beings are equal in that they're all servants of Krishna, and that all living beings, or especially human beings, whatever body they may be in, male or female, they have an equal opportunity to go back to Godhead. But socially, they have different roles. Socially, in the Vedic culture, women take a subordinate role to that of men. And men are also trained to be very responsible. Now, it may be said that most men are not responsible, and that therefore women should not be subordinate. These are complex social issues. And having said this much, I'll probably, within a few days, I'll probably be attacked on the internet for having said it. I gave a class a little bit like the class I gave this morning in Mayapur during the festival, and a few days later I was attacked all over the world on the internet saying that by my preaching I'm destroying families. And although there are several devotees in this room whose family life, I think they will say, has been benefited or even saved by my preaching according to Prabhupada's book, is certainly a complex social issue. How to implement the Vedic culture in a world which is so far away from that civilization. And certainly we should look towards the ways and means of doing that. Of course, the original question was whether women should dance in front of the men. I would suggest that they exhibit caution in that regard. It's an ongoing discussion in our society. But that's my position anyway. By reading Prabhupada's books regularly, I see that Prabhupada has repeatedly emphasized this point, that women's role is to be chaste, shy, submissive, all these things. Doesn't mean that they can't preach Krishna consciousness. Doesn't mean that they can't become first-class devotees of Krishna. Rather, we encourage them to do all these things. It's just a matter of understanding the social role, based on the understanding that as long as we are conditioned, that man is like butter and woman is like fire. So in the Vedic culture, there is very great caution is taken so that the butter doesn't melt in the fire. Hmm. Is there any other question? Oh, written question.
Like a written questions. When we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, what should be our meditation?
Oh, yes, this is a very nice question. Oh. Yeah, everything we do in Krishna consciousness is done for the pleasure of Krishna. Yeah. So hearing is also service to Krishna. One of the nine processes, Shravanam, is the first given. So everything is done in a service mood. We hear with the attitude that now I am hearing about Krishna as a service to Krishna, so that I can become purified and Krishna conscious and serve Krishna better. It's a very nice question. Then another more questions?
Yes. In Vamsidas Babaji, it is written that you came to Krishna consciousness at the age of 18. What was the attitude of your parents? What university you graduated? What was your... Who was your sannyas guru?
Well, it's not really anything to do with the subject that we're discussing.
In Archana magazine, it is said that while worshipping the deities, we should not be too sentimental. So does it mean that love has no sentiments? What is the meaning of this word, sentiments?
Srila Prabhupada writes in his Bhagavad Gita purport that religion without philosophy is sentimentalism or sometimes fanaticism. And philosophy without religion is simply mental speculation. Philosophy without religion is simply mental speculation. Now, it's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam that the neophyte, very neophyte devotee worships the deity, but he's not interested in associating with or hearing from advanced devotees. So he doesn't have a proper understanding of what he's doing or who Krishna is. So he may have some feeling that I love Krishna, but because he is not heard properly, then he doesn't have a clear concept of what that love of Krishna is.
He's not heard.
because he's not heard properly, he doesn't have a clear understanding of what Krishna consciousness is. And because he's not heard properly, he's not become purified from lust, greed, anger, envy, illusion, madness, all these. So feelings are certainly required in Krishna consciousness. But if we simply think, oh, I love Krishna, Krishna is so beautiful, but we don't take the trouble to properly hear about Krishna as Krishna directs us, that is called sentimentalism. We cannot make proper advancement with such an without taking the trouble to understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness.
Well, there are four questions.
That's one at a time. If they're connected with the symbol.
All right. Who is Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God?
Yes, we are also sons of God. He's a very exalted Son of God. Questions should be actually related to the topic of spiritual advancement.
All these questions are related to Jesus Christ.
All right, then it's not our subject.
All right.
I mean, there are unlimited things you can ask about, but the particular topic we have is advancement in Krishna consciousness. Please excuse me, but we're trying to concentrate on one. Okay. Is this for this written question?
Yeah.
Is this to do with our topic?
Yes. I've been practicing Krishna consciousness for 6 years already. Nevertheless, it is very troublesome to me to get up early, even if I wake up. How should I change myself? How should I treat the mind?
How should you treat the mind? Bhaktisthan Sarasar Thakur said, beat it with shoes. Now, obviously, this is allegorical because the mind is subtle and shoes are made of gross elements. But the point is that if we take shelter of our materially contaminated mind, then we're not going to make any advancement. Determination is required to make advancement. So you have to do whatever is necessary. Take rest at night earlier. Don't eat too much, especially at night. If we understand how important Krishna consciousness is, then we'll do whatever is required to become Krishna conscious. Or anyway, it's not very good, but if somehow or other we can't organize ourselves, get up early in the morning. At least when we get up, we should chant Hare Krishna. Don't stop chanting Hare Krishna. Even if we only move at 1 kilometer an hour towards our goal, we should at least keep moving towards the goal. Don't give up. There are other techniques you could use. If that person who asked that question is living in the ashram, they could ask someone to throw a bucket of cold water.